Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reason that we praise you. We thank you for the reason that you came into the world to save us. And we'd ask this morning that as we open your word and as you speak to us through it, that when we go forth from this place, that people would know that we have been in your presence and that we were transformed because we were under the teaching of your word. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. This time I would invite you to open up to Luke chapter 2. And we will be studying verses 8 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Should be a familiar passage to you, not only because it's part of the Christmas narrative that gets repeated every year, but also because in not one but two of the songs that we sang this morning, there was reference to some of what we will read about this morning. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." This is God's word. So today we'll be talking about the shepherds and the angels. Let's be honest. Are you glad the holidays are over? Is Christmas something that you're happy to have just gotten through? Is your tree and all the decorations down already? Have you returned to normal? Today, we'll see that the advent of our Lord is not something to just get through. In verses 8 through 12, we see Jesus' birth announcement. Now, I'm sure you remember this summer, I believe it was, when there was a royal birth in England, and much was made of the birth of that baby. And it was covered by all of the press, and it was repeated, and there was a buzz, because this was a royal birth. But we'll see this morning's passage shares with us, although there was a royal birth that occurred, the announcement came much differently. In verse 8, we see that there were these shepherds. and they dwelt in the fields where they had their sheep penned up. Now, they undoubtedly had tents or booths under which they dwelt. But we read in verse 8 that they were keeping watch, and they were keeping watch by night. Each one was keeping a watch, and the watch ordinarily consisted of about 3 hours. That was their turn. And the reason that they watched the sheep in the field appears to have been either to preserve the sheep from beasts of prey, such as wolves or foxes, or from freebooting of bandits. And in verse 9, we see the angel of the Lord appeared to them, or stood over them. It's very likely that the angel appeared in the air a little distance above them, and that from him the rays of the glory of the Lord, or perhaps the Shekinah glory, shone around them as the rays of light are projected from the sun. And in verse 9, we read that they were terrified. Now, growing up studying the King James as opposed to the NIV, I really like the phraseology in the King James. In the King James, it says, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. Not just afraid, they were sore afraid. It encapsulates exactly how, as the NIV translates it, terrified that they were. They were terrified with the appearance of so glorious a being, and probably fearing that this angel was a messenger of justice, coming to denounce divine judgments or punish them immediately, as that had occurred, for sins which, at this point, when suddenly an angel appears to them, I'm sure their conscience was bringing to their mind everything that they had done wrong. Sort of like when you're a child and your parent walks in the room and says, "We need to talk." So I'm sure this angel appearing, suddenly everything that they'd ever done wrong, whether as a shepherd or privately, was flashing before them. And it says that they were terrified, because often we know from Scripture that angels were there to either deliver a message, and often that message was one of judgment. And oftentimes there was immediate punishment. But creation has no mysterious and exalted beings than angels, who represent the testimony of the heavens to what is occurring. There are no more normal Joes, so to speak, in ancient culture than shepherds. They represent the lowly and the humble who respond to God's message. Thus, in this morning's passage, heaven meets and greets the average person through the angelic announcement to these pastoral figures. But Jesus' birth is more than just a family affair. The announcement of good news, of great joy that will be for all people, indicates that God desires to speak to every person about the coming of Jesus, since all of humanity is impacted by his coming. Now, we don't know exactly which angel this is that has appeared to the shepherds. Sometimes, when angels appear, they are named in Scripture. We know that Michael appeared to Daniel in Daniel chapter 10 and 12. We know that Gabriel appeared to Daniel in chapters 8 and 9. And we know that just one chapter earlier in Luke, Gabriel had also appeared to Mary. But in this, all we know is that it's an unnamed angel. And this is the third announcement by an angel in Luke. The first, in chapter 1, was when the angel appeared to Zechariah. The second was when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. But this announcement follows a standard form. There's an appearance by the angel. That appearance provokes fear, which quickly is followed by a "do not be afraid" remark. And then there is the announcement of a verifying sign. The angel informs the shepherds of what God is doing through Jesus. The glory of God's presence surrounds the heavenly witness, adding drama to the scene. Like the fear that gripped earlier participants, such as Zechariah and Mary, or even Daniel, or Joshua, and others to whom there have been appearances, fear grips them. But the visible presence of heavenly authority makes these shepherds nervous. After calming the shepherd's fears, the angel declares what God is doing. The passage refers to the announcement as, quote, good news, using the verbal form of the word from which we get the term gospel. The titles the angel uses for the newborn child are significant. Savior, or Soter, reflects the call of Jesus to deliver his people, as both Mary and Zechariah's hymns in Luke chapter 1 have declared. This term, Savior, is rich in Old Testament roots, especially as a figure for deliverance. In Psalm 24, we read in verse 5, he will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, his Savior. In Psalm 25, we read, guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. So this is a term which has been used to indicate God's deliverance. Now the term Christ, from the Greek for anointed one, is indicative of his role as the promised Messiah. Messiah, which is Hebrew for anointed one, is a rare term in the Old Testament. And we read it in Psalm chapter 2, verse 2, where it says, the kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. The term Lord explains Jesus' authority and lordship. Now, the angelic revelation of a sign implies that the angel wanted the shepherds to go and see the child for themselves. They will recognize the child when they see a newborn baby in the town of David, wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And with all prophetic declarations of a sign, there is a visible physical reality which ends up confirming the announcement. And of course, as we saw when we were going through the pastor's four-week Advent series sermon, where he started with the prophecy, here we see the fulfillment of a prophetic declaration because the baby is in the town of David. And we know that God had promised that he would build his house and that someone would forever sit on the throne of David. And so this morning's passage, although we have made it through Advent, we've made it through Christmas, as the narrative continues, it's all still tied together with that prophetic word that was being fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And in verses 13 and 14, we see the angel's refrain. Now, as if the announcement were not enough from the angel, the heavenly choir strikes up in praise to God, giving him honor for what is taking place. The angel's refrain serves as a commentary on the flow of events. Glory should be given to God in the most exalted of ways. While on earth, one should see that this child means peace for those, quote, on whom his favor rests, end quote. The picture of being a person of God's favor was a Jewish way of saying that someone was numbered among God's chosen people. This remark makes it clear that salvation and its fullness are not automatic for everyone. Jesus comes for all, but not all respond to and benefit from his coming. And then, in verses 15 through 20, we see the shepherds' response. The shepherds, after having heard the message of the angel, having heard it reinforced by the heavenly host, they then decide to look at what God is doing. They find the child in the manger, just as the angel had said. Once again, as throughout Scripture, God is shown to keep his word. The shepherds share their story with those present. They respond with obedience and cannot contain themselves from testifying to what God has done in making Jesus' presence evident to them. As is often the case, when God's work is reported, those who hear their testimony are amazed, while Mary simply ponders it all. The event closes with the shepherds returning to their flocks and giving glory and praise to God for the things were just as he had said. In verse 17, we see that they spread the word. These shepherds were the first preachers of the gospel of Christ. And what was their text? Glory to God in the highest heavens, and on earth, peace and goodwill among men. This is an elegant and energetic saying which comprises the sum and substance of the gospel. In verse 20, we see that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising. These simple men, having satisfactory evidence of the truth of the good tidings and feeling divine influence upon their own minds, returned to the care of the flocks, glorifying God for what he had shown them and for the blessedness which they felt. Now, as we read this passage, noteworthy is the choice of the shepherds to be among the first to hear about the new child and to see him. The biblical shepherd is a positive image, and the association of shepherds with these events adds an image of everyday life to the scene. God is involved not just with the special or the great, but with all people. His announcement of the child's arrival to everyday folks shows his commitment to the mass of humanity. Those on whom his favor rests include those whose claim to fame may be nothing more than that they wake up each day and pursue a life in service to God. The response of the shepherds involves both praise and obedience. The announcement of the sign leads the shepherds not only to follow where God has led them, but also to share what God has shown them when they arrive to see God's word come to pass. So also, we should follow where God leads and with grace testify to his direction in our lives. When God guides us through a trial of a vocation crossroads or a decision involving a mate, our future, or our children, we should be prepared to speak about how he has impacted our lives. Often we will share this with folks at church, but a word to anyone who might listen should be encouraged. The variety of reactions to the birth of Jesus noted in today's passage should not surprise us. People respond to him differently. Some are amazed, but do not engage him at any deeper level. Others offer praise, while some ponder what Jesus means. Are you feeling overwhelmed or let down after Christmas? We aren't the first to feel the need to take some time to consider what God has done for us. Sometimes, just the reflection that comes from the Christmas season or reflecting on Jesus' story can renew our sense of relationship to God. The King, the Son of David, the Lord, the Savior, was sent from heaven to identify with us, to walk with us, to die for us, be raised for us, and to relate to us. That is the story of Jesus, a story worthy of praise and worthy to be told. No wonder the famous and beloved blind hymn writer Fanny Crosby wrote, "To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in." Here is a testimony of a woman who knew pain and yet saw God in her darkness. That is why the earth should hear his voice in our testimony to his love. That is why the world should see our testimony in a life that honors him. That is why we, of all people, should rejoice at the story of His coming. The reason for our rejoicing starts with Jesus in the story of His birth. But it does not stop there. He is involved in our lives even now. By the Spirit, His presence continues to express itself in us. In His care, we see His hand working for us. Sometimes, He works to reshape us. And the reworking means pain. But it is always done with an eye to our care. Now, instead of looking on His meekness as He is laid as a babe in a manger, He looks on our weakness as He cares for us as the Great Shepherd. The story of Jesus' birth does not end with Him wrapped in swaddling clothes. Often the beauty of the Christmas story gets treated as if it were the whole story about Jesus, God showing Himself in the birth of a special child. But this story is only the beginning of God's new work. That labor has continued century after century in a fresh generation of believers who have shared in the blessing of relationship He provides. As believers, we belong to a great train of witnesses spanning the ages who have lifted their voices and offered their souls in gratitude for what this birth meant. One day in heaven, face to face with men and women of every generation and nation, we will offer thanks before Him. And there is nothing wrong with getting a little practice now. An interesting parallel, as our passage today is sort of at the beginning of Luke's Gospel, at the end of Luke's Gospel, just before we transition to the book of Acts, in Luke chapter 24, in the passage about the Ascension, it says, "When He had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, He lifted up His hands and He blessed them. While He was blessing them, He left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God." So at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, we see the shepherds receiving a message from heaven, seeing it verified with their own eyes, and then they return to their flocks, testifying and praising God. And at the end of Luke, we see His followers, those who had walked with Him for several years, had spent time with Him, had literally broken bread with Him. As He returns to heaven, their response is worship and going back to where they had been, praising God. So too, we should tell the story as we go back to where it is that we have come from. Is witnessing something which causes you fear? We read in this morning's passage that the angels were terrified, or they were sore afraid. And yet, look at what happens when the Spirit of God works in their lives. Their fear was turned into joyful testimony. And we know from 1 John chapter 4 that there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. So today, as we go forth from this place, we should continue to rejoice at the story of His coming. And we should share that message with people who God puts in our path. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this reminder from a very familiar passage. We thank You that when You chose to announce the birth of Your Son, that You chose everyday people to make that message known to. We thank You for the glory and the splendor of the message from the angels. But Lord, we thank You for the example that the shepherds could not help but testify. And they went forth after they had seen what You had done and that You had fulfilled Your word. They went forth praising God and sharing that good news. Give us the boldness to be like those early shepherds. And Lord, that might we share the good news to those that we come in contact with. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.